Welcome to the Gymea Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things, and it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at gymeabaptist.org.au.
This morning's reading is from Romans 12, 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Fantastic. Thank you, Beck, for reading that for us. Well, good morning, everybody, and also Happy New Year. It is the 5th of January. Can you believe that? And as the Commons family pray, that was a beautiful prayer. Thank you so much for praying for us. As a bit of a throwback to our Christmas, tomorrow is the 6th of January. Clever me that I knew that, which is also Epiphany. So that's the last of the 12 days of Christmas to finish off our year. And so we've still got our Christmas up. So if you're thinking, why haven't they gone on to it? We're waiting. There is a plan, so be assured. Well, a huge big welcome to you, particularly if you're visiting or new for the first time. Really glad to see you here at Gymea Baps. I hope you feel really welcome and maybe stick around for a coffee afterwards. It'd be great to get to know you a little bit. Well, as Jeremy mentioned before, we're doing a series called Jesus in the Sydney Morning Herald, and this series is a little bit different for us. We've been doing this for a number of years. If you're visiting for the first time and you kind of don't know, you haven't been to church for a while, what we often do is we take a passage of scripture and we explore it, unpack it, explain it, dive into it, have a bit of a look and apply it to our lives. That's our normal pattern of sermons here at GBC. This series is different to that, so just set your expectations a little bit. So this is where we look at contemporary issues in our world, things that are happening, new things, different things, and we look at it perhaps through a Christian lens or a biblical reflection, and we just kind of consider it a little bit. Hold it up, look at the different angles and think, what does this mean for us in our journey of faith and our lives as a community and as the people of God? So that's kind of where we're going with this, if you needed to know that. Well, word of the year is something that's happened for a while. It started in a newspaper in Germany that started word of the year, and now it's this big thing. And all the dictionaries around the world they do surveys and they look at online searches and they come up with a word which typifies the year. And there's a few words of the year that we could have chosen for this particular day. Online, dictionary.com, the word was demure. So I don't know if you ever got into the whole very mindful, very demure, very cutesy thing. If you're looking at me like, what is she talking about? Ask a young person, they'll tell you. Another word, American, is polarization. No surprises there for that year last year. Australia's word of the year is a little bit different. It actually refers to the experience of where you you sign up to something online and over a time period, the experience degrades and it becomes a worse experience and not what you signed up for. But today we're looking at the word of the year, which is Oxford's word of the year, which is brain rot. And I'll throw up what do you call that thing? Bunch of words, definition, that's the word. I need a definition. Where's the dictionary? No, I need a thesaurus first, don't I? Yeah. So let me throw that up for you so that you know what brain rot is. Just nod your head for me if you've ever heard of brain rot. Yep, okay, I'm seeing more nods on this side than I am on that side. So this is something that the Zoomers know about, the Alphas know about, the Millennials know about. It's kind of a young person's word, but I've chosen it because it actually applies to more of us than we think. So brain rot is two things. Firstly, it is low quality content on the internet. That's what it firstly is, low-quality content on the internet. If I said to the young people today, skibbity toilet, they would know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, also find a young person and find out from there. So BrainRot is low-quality content online, easily made, easily consumed, but then also BrainRot is the effect in our brains of consuming the low quality content on the internet. So it's two things. It refers to the actual stuff and the effect on our brains that the stuff has, if that makes sense. Because actually this word is not a modern word. It's an old word, and it was coined in 1854 by a guy called Henry David Thoreau, a writer, in a book called Walden, where he retreats from the world for a couple of years, lives by Walden Pond, and he talks about brain rot as being a problem in his generation, within his contemporaries. He looked at the potato blight or the potato rot that had occurred decades before, and he thought, look at this potato rot, the whole thing's just rotten, and he applied that to people's brains. I would hate to think what he would think of skibbity toilet now, to be honest. So this is what we're looking at today, is word of the year, brain rot. And I don't know if you have ever experienced either the content or the effect of the content, or whether this is true of you, but I don't know if you've ever been engrossed in something online and you're just scrolling or doom scrolling and flicking, just wasting time, or watching Netflix and it keeps saying, watch next episode, or you're just checking your scrolls, or you're habitually just as an auto response going to your phone. And then all of a sudden you sort of catch yourself and you're like, what am I doing? Why? I'm stuck in a loop. What am I doing here? I've been sitting, what day is it? What am I doing here? I don't know if that's your experience or whether you've seen somebody or maybe a teenager in your world has this experience where they're just sitting down being constantly engaged or entertained by content on the internet. So brain rot is used often kind of ironically by the younger crowd. They kind of know that the content is dumb, right? The content and things that they're looking at, they know it's not art. They know it's poor quality content, and they're okay with that. And they also know that the effect on the brain is probably not great. And so they tend to use it kind of ironically. I've got brain rot, watching too much brain rot. They kind of use it in that way. But the question is, why? Why do we keep coming back to low quality content? If I can explain low-quality content to you, I used the term skibbity toilet before, which people kind of laughed about. Skibbity toilet is this animated series on YouTube about a bunch of humanoid heads in toilets who plan to take over the world, right? It's not art, it's lowbrow, but it's a thing. And the problem is it's addictive and people watch it. And then we think, why are they watching it? So this is kind of what we're looking at. We used to say that 1 million monkeys typing on 1 million computers will eventually recreate the words of Shakespeare. Turns out, no, that's not the case. You get human heads in toilets. Fun times for that. That is something that we're looking at. So brain rot is those things. Now, we know that the younger generation think it's silly. We know they know it's silly. We know they use it ironically. And we know that it probably has a negative effect on our minds. And the question is why? And the question is also, well, what do we do about this? Now, Christians over the years, and you'll have, if you've been a Christian for a while, you'll have seen this, we can kind of tend to have different responses or reactions to things in the world, like brain rot or skibbity toilet or the internet or that sort of low quality stuff. We can do two things. Firstly, we can kind of rant and rail against it. Now, I've got memes here that are going to come up on the screen. Memes are pictures. If you don't know, if you're an older person and you don't know what a meme is, ask a younger person. But here are two memes as well to help you. We can kind of have that first response, which is the old man yells at cloud. So we can kind of look at brain rot and say, that's wrong, that's bad. We should, you know, down with brain rot and fight against the machine and rant and rail against it as a response. We can also be like the second meme there, which is a famous meme, Homer Simpson disappearing into a bush. It's like a video where he looks around and goes, nah, and just moves backwards into a hedge. That is meant to be kind of a retreating kind of thing. So we can rant or we can retreat. And Christians over the years have done this as a response. We can kind of rant and rail against things of society, or we can retreat and become monks in the desert. The problem is, when we look at the things of our world, the things like skibbity toilets and brain rot and the internet, we're not actually called to retreat, and we're not really even called to kind of rant so much as the only thing that we do. We're actually called by Jesus to be salt and to be light, to be illuminating and preserving the world that we live in. Rather than being monks in the desert, we're meant to be cities on hills to show a different way to live and a different way to engage and to show what it looks like to live in community with God. So in an era of brain rot, how do we live Christianly? And one of the ways that we need to do this is to understand what is going on for us in our brains in order to rot it. Firstly, brain rot comes from escapism. One of the things that's interesting about brain rot is intelligent people like it. This is not a matter of intelligence. It's not a matter of, oh, this is, you know, I'm too intelligent for this. No, no. Intelligent people can get into brain rot because it's about escapism. And we've gone through some significant stuff in the global community over the years. Our brains are fatigued. We're undergoing life stress. And this is just a great way to escape, to take in low-quality internet content. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to do anything. I can just absorb it. And so looking at as a form of escapism. But secondly, we want to look at how our brains work. What happens in our brains? How has God designed us? And there's a few chemicals that I'm going to just pop up on the screen as well that you need to be aware of. Now, this is very broad descriptors of these particular brain chemistries. Firstly, dopamine is a reward chemical. And you'll know the dopamine reward chemical because you'll have done something and got a bit of a hit, a dopamine hit from doing something. Secondly, there's serotonin, which is about mood and about stabilizing our moods. And it's a sense of contentment and, oh, all's good with the world. And there's another one, which is oxytocin, which is this connection or love mood. Now, there's more. I've just picked out three, and we're going, as I said, very, very broad. The thing about brain rot as content is our brain chemistry can often trick us, shape us, and fool us. So that neurochemical dopamine, it's a reward chemical, but it's all about the anticipation of reward for dopamine. For example, you're on YouTube and you're scrolling through YouTube and you're looking and looking and looking. There's this sense of, oh, what am I going to find? What's out there? What's new? What's different? This engagement which draws you in. That's engaging your dopamine. And then every now and then, you're going to get something that's good. And then you're going to get this reward out of it. And then it's going to be little hits of serotonin, oxytocin, and more dopamine to make you feel good that you've found something. The way the internet works and the way YouTube works and all those forms of social media work is it's all about the search. It's exciting. And the rewards are scattered. The rewards are not, set. They're actually randomized rewards. So you're looking and you're looking and you're looking and you may get something and then you're looking and you're looking and you're looking and you may get something. And so it keeps you coming back for more. It actually reminds me a little bit of how people play the poker machines, problem gamblers play the poker machines, because they put things in and it's all about the maybe, it's all about the search, it's all about the look, it's the rummage, playing the poker machines, and then you get this randomized reward and you're like, ooh, and they don't then take it and go, do they? They then put that that money that they've won back through the poker machines. This is a little bit like what's happening online. So this anticipation of reward occurs, and we get sort of stuck in this. We get stuck in looking at Instagram for those rewards, like who's liked my post, what's new, what's different, who's connected with me, who's friended me, and that feeds our dopamine, and it keeps us hooked. Now, if the internet was all good things, all wonderful things, all rewards, we wouldn't want to look at it that much because we like the search, we like the dopamine, we like the hunt, we like the rummage. If it was all just connection and satisfaction, there would be no incentive for us to look at the internet. So that is one aspect of brain rot and the desire that comes to it. We are neurochemically wired to look for it and to hunt for it. Another thing that comes into consuming brain rot style material is we like shiny things. We like things that are shiny. Our brains are also hardwired for movement. We like to see things that move. Salience computation, which is a way that we look at patterns and things, says that we actually like things that are different, that stand out more. So our eyes go to shiny, our brains go to movement, and that is what is happening in that online space. We can't help but watch. Another aspect of it, apart from that neurochemical, apart from what our eyes focus in on, is decision making. Decision making comes into it. We make decisions, ultimately, based on a few factors, but what will cause us enjoyment is something we used to decide. An absence of pain, an increase of comfort, an ease of life. So we make decisions on things so it's easy, no pain, and it feels good. So all of these things, this is the neurochemical, the way that our eyes work, go to the movement, go to the shiny, and our decision making, all of those things are factored into what is known as the attention economy. The attention economy. This term has been around for a long time, but I think it's adjusted and moved and shifted and changed over the number of years, especially as the internet has just basically taken over. The internet now and all our social media services, even YouTube, TikTok, all of it, they are incentivized to keep you there for as long as possible so that their ads might get in front of your face. That is the incentive. If I could describe it, I would say you're there for a long time, not a good time, okay? They want to keep your attention engaged in their service, their brand, their feed, so that you get to see as many ads as possible, and if you get to see as many ads as possible, they make as much money as possible, ultimately. So there is an economy to our attention. And part of that, wanting to keep your eyeballs on the feed, is actually not about giving you high quality content that is amazing and that you're going to be like, this is building my life. I feel so satisfied with my serotonin, my oxytocin. I feel so connected. It's not about that. It's about the hunt. It's about that the aspect of dopamine, which is the hunt. And so often you'll see the algorithm will put on social media, the algorithm will give you stuff that you might not like. You might disagree with that kind of stuff, and the algorithm won't be able to tell the difference. And so you might have commented on a post and said, I don't like this, and the algorithm's going, great, they've commented, they're engaged, their eyeballs are here, the attention economy is working, we're going to give them more of this. Okay, you've probably experienced how that works. So you're there for a long time, not a good time. Okay, it's profitable to have you on our platform. Say the companies, which is why you'll see in a lot of social media feeds and things, TikTok started something which was really revolutionary back in the day, which was auto-playing of short-form videos. So you're on TikTok and it's just video, video, video after another. There's no start and stop. It's just this continuous amount of nonsense that you're looking at. Sorry, those TikTok fans out there that I said nonsense to. But it's just this continual playing of form. And so that then has been transferred onto pretty much every other social media platform to keep you engaged, keep the dopamine levels up, keep your eyeballs shiny, the new. You do not then have to make a decision, because remember, we make decisions based on what doesn't give us, you know, that gives us an increase in comfort and an absence of pain. So it's not even that you have to make a decision to press play, it's a non-decision. So easy, you just keep consuming, keep watching it. Okay, so we're all okay with this? Now, I don't want to be, old man shouts at cloud, the internet is bad. That's not what I'm saying here, okay? Because the internet has brought us incredible connectivity, and it's part of the world that we live in. And as Christians, we're meant to be in the world, but not of the world. So how do we engage in the internet? How do we deal with brain rot, both the content and our effect in our brain as Christians? How do we not rant? How do we not retreat? But how do we respond carefully? Well, the good news, I think, my friends, is that God, who has made our brains, has also made it that our brains can be remade. The God who made our brains has also made it that our brains can be remade. God restores rot. Romans 12:2 speaks in the passage that was read for us earlier, and it says this. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We're meant to not be conformed and shaped by brain rot, so that our brains rot, but we're actually meant to be transformed or metamorphosized and moved and shaped by the renewing of our mind. And the good news that Paul wrote all these years ago is actually quite accurate. Our minds can be shaped. Our minds can be renewed. The brain is always, always, always forming new connections. And the good news is the more new connections you form, the easier it gets. So the neurological connection to pick up your phone and scroll straight to Instagram or scroll straight to whatever it is that you're on, that auto action, which is a habit, that can actually be shaped and changed. And our brains can be rewired in new ways, and that is the way that God has formed us. So you know the neurons that fire together, wire together, you may have heard that. Well, neuroplasticity says that is good news. And the more we learn something new or do something new, the better we are at learning something new and doing something new. So the more you learn, the better you are at learning. The more you do a new action, the easier it becomes. The faster you get, the smoother it becomes, the less energy it takes for you to do something new. And the other good news is this is not about age. This is not about the brain declining in age. It's actually about the way you learn. The way to learn is to learn. It's use it or lose it. One of our values is actually whole life learners, and that actually works within our brains as well. That is the way that God has designed us and shaped us, so that we can form new neurological pathways, reverse the rot, bypass it, and bring about wholeness. So the scripture says, do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We know our minds can be renewed and shaped. Science backs us up on that. But how do they get transformed? Well, one of the things that I want to say to mitigate the effects of brain rot is that we need to be formed in Christ. Not conformed, transformed by being formed or shaped in Christ. You may have heard us talking a little bit last year about spiritual practices. Another name for spiritual practices is spiritual formation, to be formed spiritually in the reflection of Jesus, or spiritual disciplines is another way. And so when we spend time in those spiritual formation or spiritual practices, when we spend time in our scriptures, reading the Bible, and we make that habitual, make that that a habit, then it becomes easier and our brain then is being shaped in a new way. When we spend time in prayer and make that a habit, a daily experience, then what that is doing, not only in our spiritual life, but what is doing physically in our brain is forming new neurological connections and making them stronger. We are formed by those practices like Sabbath, which we spoke about last year, and we're going to hear about more about this year. Things like solitude, fasting, etc., etc. These are the ways that we are formed in Christ so that we then are transformed and not conformed to the world. Friends, I want to say that the attention economy that exists to draw your eyes and your attention to whatever it is online so they can make money, it does tell us something really important. And that is, it's an economy because it's valuable. Your attention, your time, your focus is valuable. It's worth something. It's important. And Romans 12 talks about the way we should bring ourselves, our bodies, as a living sacrifice to God, holy and pleasing to God. We bring sacrifices to God that are worth something, that are good. We want to sacrifice things to God that are good. And when we bring our bodies to Christ as a living sacrifice, that includes that good and valuable aspect of you, which is your time, your focus, your attention, that you can bring all of yourself to God as a living sacrifice and lay it there and say, God, have all of me, my mind, my brain, my body, my attention, my time, my focus, my skills, all of me. We can bring that as a living sacrifice, which is pleasing to God, which is true and proper worship. So as God then restores and renews, as we stop being conformed to the world and we start being transformed in the image of God and we are formed and shaped into his image through the spiritual practices and disciplines, and we're going to hear more about those this year. The good news is in our brains, the brain chemicals switch on and our brains are renewed, rewired, the rot is bypassed, and we get better and better at knowing God. We get better and better at understanding God. And the scripture goes on to promise that when we are transformed by the renewing of your mind, Paul says, then you're going to be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Your discernment increases the more you spend time being transformed in your mind. This is good news for us, that our brains don't have to suffer brain rot, but they can be renewed and transformed and shaped to be knowing God and making him known and discerning his will. This is good news. God is an incredibly creative God. Well, what do we do practically, friends? One of the things that is good about this series is it's not just thinking about things, although we love to think about things. I want to know, what can we actually do about brain rot? Because we're in the world, not of the world, and we sometimes get stuck, and I don't know about you, but you can, you know, scroll, and all of a sudden go, what have I done? What am I looking at? How do I break out of this, and how do I kind of open myself up to allowing God to reshape and rewire my brain in a new way when I'm spending time with him? Well, let's have a bit of a look at some things that I think are really, really helpful for us. Firstly, with brain rot, if you or someone you love is suffering from too much brain rot and wants to break out of that, the first thing I think you need to do is just to be aware. To notice. There is great power in noticing your body, your posture. So if you're stuck sitting on the lounge and you're scrolling and you're stuck in this infinite loop, start by noticing. Just notice. And there is great power in that. Notice your body. Notice your posture. Notice the time that you spent. And be curious about that. And it just might be, the first step might be to go, huh, I'm stuck here. And just notice. And then my advice to you then is to shoot up that prayer. Lord, I've noticed this. Help me now, Jesus. Another way to counter brain rot, if that's affecting your mind, is to get offline, to disconnect offline. Now, we can't do this permanently because we live in a society where we are online, offline, but there will be times when you need to get offline. You can disconnect through the use of timers. You can set your phone up to cancel out of apps when you've reached a particular amount of time. You can set, let the phone do the work, tell Siri to do it, and she'll be onto it. You can also use grayscale mode. A lot of young people are using this nowadays. They use grayscale mode so that everything on your phone just looks kind of meh. It's very mid, to use that language of the young people. So it's all grey, it's not shiny, it's not colourful. It just helps you disengage a little bit from that. Another way to get offline is to think about your sleep hygiene. Think about where's your phone? Is it in a way out of your bedroom, or is it on charge somewhere else? How do you sleep well in online? And then maybe also to think about reading analog for a change. Get maybe an old school Bible, a book. Whoa, look out. A journal. Get offline a bit. Another thing to do is to get moving. One of the things that you think about with young people particularly and brain rot is often that we're sitting in a particular posture and hours go by. And so getting moving is actually really good. Bilateral coordination is very, very good for the brain, which basically means moving both sides of your body. So walking, running, even playing a musical instrument actually moves both sides of the brain out. So getting moving. Getting outside is another great way to counteract the effects of brain rot in our society. Thoreau, who coined this term way back in 1854, that was his original remedy for brain rot back then, that we should actually get out and connect with the natural world. So whatever that looks like for you, in your backyard, feed off, do some grounding, forest bathing. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's a very trendy word for being out in the woods. Bushwalking, ocean swims, all of these things really affect our brain positively and help our brain chemistry and make new neurological pathways. Amazing stuff. Get creating is another thing. Brain rot and a lot of overconsumption is about consuming. And creating is different to consuming. And we honour and reflect a creative God when we start creating. It's very, very good for us. Another one is get together. We are in a church. What a blessing, what a privilege it is to be part of the people of God. We talked about serotonin and oxytocin, the connection and the love and the satisfaction. Being in people, being in community, in real world community with people is a great way to build up those neurochemicals. So getting together. As the people of God in particular, I would encourage that. Another thing to do is to get help. So brain rot's a serious thing. I don't think we've seen the end of it. I think we're just scratching the surface of what it looks like to live in this interconnected online world. And for most of us, a lot of these things are going to be super helpful. But for some of us, this is actually a really serious issue, and it's a serious problem, and it's a serious addiction. And so if that is something that you think, yeah, actually, this is really affecting my life negatively, I would encourage you to get help on this. And by help, I mean professional help. See a therapist, get some counselling. One of our guys from Hopefield is leaving, and he's actually starting up his own business. And one of his areas is going to be about gaming addiction for young people, about how to help young people get off the internet games that they may be addicted to. Incredible stuff. So get some help. But friends, let me just encourage you with brain rot, that God is a good God. He has made our brains. He is a God of renewal. He is a God of restoration. Steve prayed this prayer at the beginning of our time together to remind us that God is a God who restores and renews. He doesn't just make bad people good. He makes dead people come to life. He is a good, good God. So let me encourage you, as we look at brain rot, the effects of our community, and we engage in that, to think, to pray, to give our whole selves over to God as a living act of worship, and to be transformed and formed in Him today. Let me read this scripture for you, and then I'm going to get you to stand up and we're going to pray. Let me just read this scripture for you. This is from Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8, and it says this. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever is lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Will you stand, and the team are going to come up and lead us in a song, and I'll pray for us as they come. So please stand with me as we pray. Loving God, we don't want to thank you so much that you made us, that your word says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, I believe that and I see that, and I thank you that we can see the natural world around us, we can see that in one another, and we can see that even in science, Lord God. And Father, I just thank you so much for the incredible brains that you've given us, Lord God. Help us to bring our whole self, our whole bodies, our minds, our attention, our focus, every aspect of us, to make us our living sacrifices as our act of worship, God. You are so worth all of our attention, all of our time, Lord God. Help us, Jesus, as we engage in not only in the world around us, but in the online world. Help us to be that salt and light that you've called us to be. Lord God, when we're stuck in brain rot or we feel the effects of brain rot, Lord God, will you help us? Will you bless us? Will you get us out of this, Lord God? Will you help us to be intelligent and thoughtful and considerate in the way that we consume material on the internet? And will you help us, Lord God, to mitigate those effects by being in your world and being in your word and being with one another? Lord, we thank you so much that this world is yours. The world is the Lord's and everything in it, Lord God, and that includes the internet. So Jesus, we thank you so much and we just lift your name on high. Ask that your will be done in our lives for your glory, for we ask it in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are The Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life and pray that God blesses you today.